Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us abundantly, and we thank you for that. Father, guide us to use our blessing wisely. We give you thanks, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For as long as people have been on planet Earth, there has been an element of uncertainty. In our lives today, there is an element of uncertainty. Some people will get worried, and some people will turn to God for guidance and comfort. People are all different, and some people will recognize what the future just might hold, and then we'll make plans for the just-in-case surprises of the future. I like to think that I'm in that latter category. But if I am, and if you are, we can only make a reasonable guess at what the future holds. And I hope I am helping you to look at what the possibilities are in the future, so that you can make plans for the just-in-case. As for me, as I have looked in history, I have learned to identify patterns of the past and see what it could mean and how it could affect our future. What kind of surprises the future may hold. And I want to tell you that whatever the future, even the future difficulties are, we can make it through all the situations that the future holds. We can make it through all of the surprises, and we can thrive. As we hold tight to Jesus Christ and love the people around us, all the while, we ought to be paying attention to what is going on in the world around us. As I've looked for years, I have seen indicators that at some point we would have an economic crisis. And in recent years, those indicators, they just keep coming. They show themselves, and I wonder. Yet for decades, one of those indicators was that the United States had a national debt, and that national debt grew and grew, and it never was paid off, or not really even ever paid down. So, and then another indicator is that for the last 100 years, there has been inflation, and what that means is that our money was devalued as its purchasing power consistently decreased. And that's a part of inflation. We could see that very clearly in the 1960s when our silver coins all became taken back by the Treasury and a new issue of coins came about that was made of practically all zinc. And this was also in part to devalue our money. That's what it looks like in hindsight. And yes, I can understand that our nation did what that devalued our coinage and that it was a reasonable decision to make. But all decisions have unforeseen consequences. And in hindsight, I think we can wonder if that was the right thing to do. Probably it was. But another option would have been if the U.S. Treasury would have kept the silver from the coins in Fort Knox and called it backing for our paper currency. Well, historically, there have been many nations that have had their money devalue, and their currency had failed. That has happened over and over and over again. We just don't recognize it because it has not happened in our country. It's been going on throughout time, and even going back to the days of Rome. For the first few centuries after Jesus walked the earth, there was a devaluing of the money. And when that happens, when the money is devalued, it just follows that there is a currency failure. And with the currency failure, the government usually fails as well. And a new system is brought into being. So that is just the way history has shown economic truth to develop. The U.S. dollar and other countries have had this devaluation going on for decades. And the U.S. dollar is now, today, facing conditions that it has never seen in history. One of those things is our interest rates. You know that the interest rates have been decreasing and decreasing. Well, all of them except for our credit card interest rates, those seem to have stayed the same. And so many people these days are living off of their credit cards, and so they have to pay the interest on the credit cards. It's unsustainable. But for so many interests, the amount of interest that is paid just keeps getting lower and lower. And that's been something which has made us not feel the impact of our nation's massive borrowing, because the interest rate is so low that we're not saying, oh no, we can't borrow another dollar because we'll have to pay interest on it. So what's going on with that right now? Our nation owes $22 trillion. $22 trillion. And even with our very, very low interest rate, our nation is set to pay $604 billion of interest in 2019. That is what it's just looking like right now. $604 billion in interest that our nation is paying on our national debt, even today, when the interest rates are so very, very low. I know that a million and billion and trillion are hard concepts to grasp, and I think the best way of looking at it and getting a grasp on the immensity of it is to use seconds to say that 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. And 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So doesn't that make it a lot easier to see that we have a problem? And there's other parts to this too. You see, these days, our federal spending only continues to increase, and our tax revenues continues to fall. So there's problems, and I think there's another part to this negative interest rate, which is now in the world, and that is that the concept that's now happening is you put $100 in a bank, and after 10 years, they pay you back $95. That's negative interest rates. And that has never, as far as I can tell, never ever happened in the history of man. There's no case in the history books of it. But it is happening today. And we just kind of have to try to figure out what this means for our whole economic system, for our nation, for everything. It was last year, in December of last year, the past Federal Reserve Chairman, Alan Greenspan, he said that our country, the economy of our country, was going into uncharted territory. And then in the summer of 2019, the current Minneapolis Federal Reserve President, Kashkari, he said that our economy is going into uncharted waters. You see, there's a difference and a similarity between uncharted territory and uncharted waters. And we can only wonder what this means. And while we don't know, I think it's pretty evident that they don't know either. Those money people that are supposed to be in charge of what's going on, they don't know what the outcome is going to be of our current amazing economic situation where we have negative interest rates. Yes, uncharted is another word for unknown. So they don't know and we don't know, and all we can do is make our best guess. Another thing that happened just days ago was our Federal Reserve Bank of New York said they were going to have massive capital injection into the banking repurchase operations through the open market trading desk at the New York Federal Reserve. So we get to figure out what that means. And it seems like the Federal Reserve is admitting here that they have an open market stock trading desk where they can interact with the stock market. And that has been, well, implicated and practically said, but not in that clear a terms, for quite a few years now, decades. And we really can only guess what it means. But it's clear that there is intervention going on, and we don't quite know how or to what extent, but it means that there is no longer a free market in our country when the Federal Reserve is intervening in a so-called free market stock market. Well, it's not a good thing, and we'll have to see what it really means. Nowadays, it's looking like the biggest banks, which are pretty much J.P. Morgan and Mellon, they do not have enough money to settle their accounts at the end of each day. And so the Federal Reserve of New York is going to make them a loan. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York, in a statement, they said that starting September 23rd and ending October 10th, at least $75 billion a day will be made available to the biggest banking interest to make their accounts settle at the end of the day. Well, that's what they said. At least $75 billion a day between September 23rd and October 10th. It's just hard to grasp. How can they make this money available? Who authorized it? We the people? Did we? Not that I'm aware of. So who authorized it? Is the Federal Reserve doing this on their own? Well, so many questions And what does it mean? It means we are in uncharted waters, uncharted territory. And that means we better buckle up our seat belts because we really don't know what is coming. $75 billion a day. That totals $350 billion. But that's at least $350 billion. For all we know, it could be $1 trillion. We just don't know. There was no maximum amount given. There was only a minimum amount, at least $75 billion a day. That is uncharted territory. Yes, indeed it is. And we don't know where it's going. It's unknown. But I do want to say that there is a principle to remember here. And that is, if you are creating more dollars, well, if you're have more of something, whatever it is, the more that you have, the less is each one's value. And that includes dollars. So if we double our money supply, the value has to be less. That's just a principle. Well, are we devaluing our money? Are we going to have a new round of inflation? And yeah, this could turn into a very large inflation. Uncharted waters indeed. You see, they are printing the money, and or they call it capital injection. But that's the same as printing money because they are putting all that money into the system. No maximum, just a minimum. Well, this puts our economy into jeopardy, and you know it does. Well, probably everything that they do puts our economy in jeopardy because there's an unsoundness to the economy. Whether the economy shrinks, whether the money supply shrinks, or whether it expands, the money supply expands, all of this is a change, and changes can possibly put our economy into jeopardy. Yeah. So, there's lots of ideas that people have, but they just don't know for sure what they're doing. They are changing the dynamics of our money system. So, it's an unknown, like they said, uncharted waters. Well, there's something that is a little bit similar to 2008, because the Federal Reserve is recognizing that what happened in 2008 and how the entire United States economy came close to a collapse. Well, they don't want that to happen. And what happened then, at least one of the things that happened, was the banks ran out of money. That is to say, Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers ran out of the cash to pay the other banks what was owed for their overnight collections. And that's what they do. They have this fund where it goes into a pool and then they pay it out at the end of each day. But the banks had to balance their books, and Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, well, they ran out of cash, and that caused the 2008, would you call it a panic? Would you call it a crisis? Well, it sure was. And a lot of people lost a whole lot. Well, naturally, the Federal Reserve does not want this to happen again. And so they are now injecting lots and lots of currency into the monetary system. Yeah, it is sensible, but I don't know that they've ever done that before. They are injecting currency into the monetary system on a massive scale. I'll just say it again, a minimum of $75 billion a day between September 23rd and October 10th. Well, what I see is that they are trying to hold off a crisis, but there is a question of, are they making the way for another crisis to arrive? Well, at this point, everyone's trying to figure that out, and we all know that we do not want another 2008-style bank collapse. And so, they injected capital, and this could create a whole new monetary system. Don't be surprised if we see some pretty big changes coming up. And I don't mean I know what they are. I don't. All I know is that when big changes are introduced, they can set off more really big changes. Yep. And then we see the money men, the big money institutions. They are struggling with the concepts of how to keep their system afloat, how to keep solvent. They're trying to figure it out too. So there's plenty of people who see that a big crisis is inevitable from these the situation that is right in front of us. And what can we do about it? Well, there's not much we can do about the big picture. In fact, I don't know that we can do anything at all. But for each one of us, we can make our own position, our own financial area, as secure as possible. That's the best we can do. So, if things really do start coming down, tumbling down around us, well, it will affect everyone. And we want to protect our own little area, make our financial as secure as possible. And that means going back to the basics, paying off your debt and having savings. That's as basic as it is. But it might be tough to get to that point. And for what is coming, yeah, we don't know what it is, but it could be pretty tough to get through. But we will get through it. Be assured that we will get through all of the difficulties. That's just human nature. It's always happened in the past, and I have every confidence that it will happen in the future. It doesn't mean that it's painless. It doesn't mean that we are not affected, but it does mean that we make it through. So we think a lot about the life here on Earth. We think a lot about our financial life and how we're going to make it through. And these are important, but they are not at all as important as our eternal life. And for that, we want to remember that there's some fundamentals. I like to remember the great commandment to love your God and to love your neighbor. I think that always applies. And there are things that happen in life. Some of them are pretty tough. And of course, because there's life, there's also death. Oh, you know, you've certainly known somebody close to you who has died. And death seems to really focus our attention on where you will spend eternity. And a part of that examination is what you need to do in this life to have an eternal life in heaven. And what that means is you want to live out your relationship with Christ Jesus. And the Bible helps you to understand what to do. And so read the Bible. If nothing else, at least read the New Testament. It's about 250 pages, and you can read it easily. Maybe you can read a few other books, too, like the book of Genesis, or a lot of people like the Psalms or the Proverbs. It's just we all have different thinking and relating to it, but please have a look at that New Testament. Read it. We get insight as we study and as we learn. And that's one of the things about reading the Bible, is it gives us all sorts of practical advice. Yeah, so read the Bible. It's a good book. So, what about the economy again? I think the big thing that I'm trying to convey today is the uncertainty in our economic future. That's on a personal basis, on a local basis, statewide, in our country, the United States of America, and in the world, there is a great deal of uncertainty. And we see the stresses and strains on our local economy as we see store closures and layoffs, and even bankruptcies. And we can wonder what the future holds. That's a good idea, because if you look, you have an opportunity to avoid the troubles that are coming. But can we say for sure what's coming? No, of course we cannot. But we can be aware of the trends and be aware of the patterns. That's what history shows. So, that's what I try to do. I look at the patterns, and I wouldn't be surprised if we had an economic slowdown or even a global slowdown. I know that there are people who even look at another great depression coming along in our lifetime. It may be. It certainly may be. Last summer, I reported that Jacob Rothschild of France told his elite group that the direction of the United States economy was that it was headed to a Great Depression. That it was an unsustainable economy because of our debt. So, I like to be aware of what these big financial people are thinking about and talking about, writing about, because they're experts in their field. Will it come to pass for sure? No, we don't know that. But it's we listen to people who have an education. We listen to our doctors. They're educated in medicine. And so the people who are educated in money, I think it's worthwhile to listen to. We can even go back to many of the great minds of people, and we can examine what they said, what they talked about. I think about Thomas Jefferson as being one of those people. One of our founding fathers, he said 200 years ago that if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. And he continues, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. The issuing power of currency should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. Well, it's a warning from Thomas Jefferson. And obviously, I think there's truth to it. There's a lot of people who have a really good basic education, and our founding fathers were some of those great minds. And also at that time, Thomas Jefferson and the other founding fathers saw where a money collapse could lead, and they saw where revolution could lead. And they witnessed two times of social unrest in France. One was in the early 1700s, very early, like 1720, and the other time was in the late 1700s. And out of that was born the French Revolution. So our founding fathers and America saw where a societal revolution without God could lead. It led to quite a bit of difficulty for France. And today, our society in America is seeing people who want a revolution, and they want a society without God. And who knows where that could lead? We don't know, but if you look at history, it could be really serious. Like I said, the 1700s, France saw revolution, and they saw thousands of their citizens killed by the guillotine. And those people who were killed were from every class, from the royalty, the rich, the middle class, and the poor. Death all over. So if there was a revolution in America, we can only guess where that might lead. We don't know. But we want there to continue to be goodness in our land and a positive force, and not have the destructive qualities of mankind that have existed for so long. I think that our American government is a good way to ensure the freedoms and the positive characteristics of mankind. So, yes, I know I talk about quite a lot of things, the serious possibilities of society or of our economy. See, I think that right now there is something brewing, and it could lead to a pretty big downturn in our economy. But that's not quite my message that I want to give today. That I don't mean to say that we will end up in a messy collapse. Now, that is one possibility, but I want to say that there are patterns and cycles in history and in economics, and that if we are prepared for a crisis and for downturns in the economy, we can get through the difficult times. We can come out of a downturn pretty okay, but we have to be prepared for it. And that's what I want to encourage everyone to do, is prepare for the just in case. You see, so many people today are unprepared to get through any difficulty, any down cycle. And that's a part of why I like to talk about what could happen. There could be troubles, and we ought to be aware so that we can get through them in a good and healthy way. Yep, because pretty big troubles are possible. They are I like to present them as being real enough troubles that you can see that it's a good idea to prepare for the just in case, for the down cycles, whatever it is. Get some preparation and see what you can do to get through whatever's coming, whatever it is. And it could be continued good times, but the indicators are not that. So it's just preparedness. Preparedness includes money, monetary things. It includes about natural disasters, because all over the world there are plenty of them going on. And they could happen here. It could be a volcano, an earthquake, a hurricane, even a tsunami. There can be other kind of natural disasters, like a crop failure. And in history, there have often been crop failures, and they can last between a few years, maybe two, maybe seven. It's very rare that there has not been years where all the years have been good for the crops. And we have had that so many good years in the United States. We hardly think of crop failures, but in the whole world, crop failures really do happen. They happen regularly. So, well, let's see. I say get prepared, and so you can turn that into talk about preppers, and I guess that's okay. Those people do not agree on what the next hard times are going to be about, but they do have an attitude in general that they will be able to get through hard times and live through to recover well. Get through, live through the hard times and have a very good recovery. So that's what I think our preparation thoughts can be. Another thing about prepping is I think it's always good to consider what our life is about. And we know that we are born, we live, and then we die. So we want to consider life and death, and that we want to go to heaven and not hell. And that means we must confess Jesus and turn from our sin. As we are born into the kingdom of God and follow Jesus Christ. And that is a whole lot of hope and a whole lot of love for the future. And that is what we want to share with the whole world. So, I think of what's going on in our world and in our nation. There is a lot of talk. Well, it depends on who you listen to. But there's plenty of talk about this new Generation Z. I've been hearing that the message that to Generation Z seems to be that because we are humans, and I guess you'd say greedy, well, because humans are destroying the earth, we only have 12 years left of life, unless we drastically change. So, with this message of only 12 years left, why do we want to plan for the future? Why would anyone want to have children to bring them into a mess like we think we have, or they think they have? So, the message sent is that saving the earth just might be hopeless unless you are willing to change your consumption patterns. And it's funny, but most people don't want to give up what the good things that they have in life are. Very few people want to be a subsistence farmer, a peasant farmer. And so they get to thinking the possibility that in 12 years it will all be over. Oh, poor Generation Z. That's what they're being told. What a big load to place on a young person. And it's not even true. The youth are taught that since there is no God, there is no unchanging truth of right and wrong. So that means there also is no eternal judgment, and there are no eternal consequences. And that means that life becomes only about what I want, so to speak, what I want. Life becomes only about me and my feelings and my desires. Oh boy, what a situation. Well, I wonder if this attitude makes youngsters think about other human beings as being important or not important. Yep, maybe this Generation Z is thinking of people as being nameless. Carbon units. Maybe that attitude has something to do with why there are a growing number of school shootings today. Do you think that a young person today might be wondering about if it's okay to kill? Because after all, it seems to be okay to kill a human baby right up to the point of birth. Yeah, so why would it not be okay to kill an older human baby, or a teenager, or an adult? I don't know. Maybe they wonder about this in the back of their mind as they are fantasizing about killing people, other teenagers, or whatever it is. Well, we can only wonder about why there is so much unwarranted violence in our society, a disregard for human life. It might be because of an altered mind. Drug use or prescription drug use. Or another factor is fathers in their home. There has been research that shows that 98% of the inmates on death row mostly had no father in their home when they were growing up. And in other cases, usually a stepfather was a bad male role model. And that is actual research, that a father is very, very important to have in a home, especially for boys. So, well, what kind of troubles are coming? I just think it's okay to look at them and try to consider the what if. What if these things happen? Then how are we going to deal with it? And that's what I'm trying to present when I talk about money. The nation's money. Now, technically, our nation does not have money, because what is money? Money is something of value, like precious metals is money. And precious metal, like gold and silver, is used in commerce. But paper money has no intrinsic value. It is only a promise to pay, and that it can be exchanged for something of value, like a precious metal. And nowadays, paper currency can no longer be exchanged for a precious metal like silver or gold. So, we have a serious debate going on. A part of this argument is in the United States Constitution. It is Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, which says, It says only precious metal is allowed to be used to pay debt. That it's only allowed to be used as money. So the founding fathers apparently felt so strongly about this that they put it in our Constitution. But the Congress disallowed this. They changed the Constitution in 1913 when they allowed the Federal Reserve to be formed. It is, in effect, our national bank, and it controls our money. Well, since then, there have been so many economies and nations that have had their money fail that we should be aware that it could happen here. And it's a new concept for most of us to even consider that our money could fail, because we have lived through so many years and generations and decades of our money being strong and secure. But not so much anymore. The U.S. dollar is changing. In fact, every currency in the world is changing. People might have a hard time to consider that we may have a crash. We may have a very difficult lesson about money coming our way. Of course, we could be saved from all the troubles, but with the big uncertainties that are going on and the big swings, it doesn't look like it. The negative interest rates is one. The issuance of money is another. Inflation is another. And money having no basis in anything real is another problem about why our money may be weakening. Yep. So what's the answer? Well, it might be to own a little gold or silver for that just in case situation. Gold is good for if you're going to take assets and put it from one place to another. And silver is good for the coinage that you would need to make transactions on a daily basis. Yeah, and if only 5% of our U.S. population has any gold or silver coins as an asset or as a hedge on inflation, then, well, if there's a sudden demand, you know that the price of silver and gold is going to increase dramatically many times over. It's just a what if. It's not a prediction. It's just that it could happen. So, you know what? I'm going to recap a little bit of what I was saying, because what's going on with that New York Federal Reserve Bank is it really could be a dramatic impact on our economy. Well, the New York Federal Reserve just authorized at least $75 billion per day to be made available to the biggest banking interests. And the reason for this is that the main banks will be protected from running out of money for their overnight funds. That's banking language. So that they can supply the smaller regional and regular banks with money. And of course, we need to keep our money flowing between banks and between business customers and for us consumers. We all need money. So, let's see, back to 2008, Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, they both ran out of those designated overnight funds, and this was a great contributor to why there was a banking crisis in 2008. It nearly collapsed our whole banking system, monetary system. And so now the New York Federal Reserve has authorized at least $70 billion per day between September 23rd and October 10th to be injected. Well, $75 billion equals $350 billion total, if not more. See, it could be, if not more, means just that, if not more. It could be $1 trillion, because it's not specified for how much. There's no limit. So it makes for an uncertain situation. And that's the point of this, is that we are headed into an unknown situation, uncharted waters. Yep. And we don't know where it will end, but it could destabilize the United States dollar. I would not be surprised if that happened, but we don't know. And apparently those big important people don't know either. That's why they describe this as being uncharted waters. So what does that mean for us? That means there is an increasing possibility, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's a possibility that the U.S. dollar could collapse. And in my opinion, were that to happen, it would turn into a global monetary collapse. And that would mean that the cash situation would become, well, intense. Everybody would be needing money, and nobody would have any. What would money become? In my opinion, it would be a new issue issued by the World Bank, which is an arm of the United Nations. It could also be through the International Monetary Fund. There are already mechanisms in place where this could happen. One world global economy? It could happen. And it would be quite a difficult phase for a while, because just like in the Great Depression, anybody who had money would be unwilling to lend it, because they would have no idea that they would get it back again. With so many loans being lost or foreclosed on, it means money would become unavailable completely. That's just about what happened after the 1929 stock market collapse. And that was a part of what caused the Great Depression. Nobody would lend out any money because they were so concerned that if they lent it out, they would not be repaid in money. So, absolutely everyone held tightly onto their money, their currency, and that was a part of what caused that Great Depression to develop. Now, there are people today who see that this also is a possibility of really and truly happening. Sure, it might happen. I don't mean to say that it would, but I can easily recognize that it might happen. So, have a plan already in place. Think about it, so that if it does happen, you will have put a little thought into how you could be protected and what you're going to do. Now, if nothing at all happens, that's fine. You will be okay. But if there is a big surprise coming our way, well, then it helps to have a little plan in place, a little forethought. Protect your assets. Protect your little home economic area. That's what you want to do. And like I said, I think this is a time when anything could happen. I don't mean this week or next month. I mean that it could be in a few months, or probably in a few years. But I sure don't know. All I know for sure is that surprises happen, and we don't know what the future holds. So we keep giving things consideration with our think, plan, and do concerns. Yep. I do think that this is a suitable broadcast for the last weekend of National Preparedness Month, because it reminds us that there are so many potential threats to us in many ways. There's ones that we see, and there's ones that we do not see. And I think it is completely fine to look at the just in case and how we might anticipate being prepared in ways that we might not normally consider. That's what I think we can look at this last weekend of National Preparedness Month. Indeed. And I do like to remind everyone that if you can support this broadcast, I would very much appreciate it. And I do thank you for listening to this Christ Today radio broadcast. You can also listen to any past broadcast, or this one again if you would like, by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. Otherwise, a different website comes up. So, another thing you can do is, if you'd like to get my preparedness pamphlet, you can get that by sending me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.
Give me passion that pours out to every nation. Yeah. Shine your light.